So here we are a week and a half or so into the war, which goes right along. I mean, we've been studying the harmony of the Olivet Discourse, and we're on part six tonight. So if anybody didn't get a part six, there's ones on the chair back there that you need to grab. If you grab one off of the wall, you might have gotten part five or part four, but we're going to be covering part six. But what we've been doing for this up to now six part is covering what Jesus taught 2,000 years ago when his disciples asked him a question. Lord, you just said that this temple in Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. They couldn't believe Jesus said that. And they asked him three, four, depending on how you divide it. When is that going to be? And what's going to be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? So he told them when the temple was going to be destroyed, when the Romans are surrounding it 40 years later. He said, as soon as you see it surrounded by armies, you know it's going to be destroyed. And it was destroyed 40 years later. And then the sign of your coming in the end of the age, he bounces back and forth, and he tells us what it's going to be in the end of the age, and we're going to see that tonight. The study tonight is dealing exclusively with the things that are going to be happening just before Jesus comes back. But we studied a few weeks ago, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars to the point where people will think that it's going to be the end of all things, which wasn't possible until the invention of, you know, weapons of mass destruction, nuclear, biological, chemical, where things could happen that everybody on earth, on earth would die. And Jesus said, don't worry, that's not how it ends. Well, that's comforting, isn't it? Especially when this week Putin said that with what's going on with the war with Iran and Israel and the United States, that you guys are bringing the world right to the precipice of World War III, and at any moment you might be making the trigger that makes it happen. And so why does he say that, and how does this fit into the prophetic scenario? And there's all kinds of people pontificating, and I'll just say, what do we know? We know Iran is prophetically in Ezekiel 38, 39. We covered that last week. They're going to be joining with Russia and other nations, Turkey, Libya, Ethiopia, Sudan, North Sudan, all countries that now are ready they would love to pounce and kill Israel if they could. First time in history, it's all lined up where those alliances are there. And they're going to come as a human army, not a missile army, not a plane army. They're coming as a human army. So that means something changes in the world where everybody's disarmed, except for coming in with pistols and swords or, you know, whatever. They're going to come to just kill. People used to be able to kill people before they had guns and planes and tanks and stuff. They used to do it quite effectively. And so it's going to be a human war. Nobody's going to be able to help Israel, including Israel. And God destroys that army. And Iran's part of that. Persia is what's listed. And Persia is Iran today. And so we know, no matter what happens with this, Persia, Iran, is going to be allied with Russia in the last days when a hook is put in the jaw to bring those nations against Israel to wipe her off the map, to take her away, and to take a spoil and kill her. And God keeps that from happening. So Iran, despite Trump saying that he's basically lighting off Armageddon to bring the kingdom of Christ, second coming to the earth, to then bring peace to the earth. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that's coming out of the White House with people speculating that and they know a little bit about the Bible, they know about Armageddon, they put it into a different place because their spiritual advisors are people that are into new apostolic reformation, that the church is supposed to take over the world and bring about the coming of Jesus by our actions. So bad biblical knowledge is causing bad things to happen. And I'm not saying that it's not good that we're eliminating all the weapons of death towards the Jewish people, because we know the Jewish people have to stay around until the end. And it is a fact that when everybody's saying, if we wouldn't have done it right now, if Israel and the United States didn't start wiping out all these missile launchers and missiles and ability to kill Jews now, another year, it wouldn't have been possible. And consider this, as we're sitting here in safety, nobody's ever, have you ever had to run to a bomb shelter? No, not in our lifetime. The Jews do it several times a day. Several times a day, they can be in a high rise and have to run down and get to the bomb shelter before the missiles come in. And some reports are saying 200 buildings in Tel Aviv have been leveled. And now the people that were living in those places, whatever the buildings were, houses, buildings, are having to, well, they have to live in a bomb shelter. And like, where's the food? And so there's starting to be internal disruption within Israel itself. And we can go back in history to the Battle of Britain, where the Germans were doing the same thing. The Germans were just bombing the oblivion out of Britain, out of London. And whole blocks were leveled. People are living in their bomb shelters and being killed. And they had to endure it for the sake of, we can't let Germany win. We've got to just do this and stick with the country to make sure it's not going to happen. We're a little bit softer in our cultures today, including Israel in the West. It's like, if I'm inconvenient, somebody's got to go. They don't understand what they're up against. So we're just, and then imagine what the people in Iran are going through, although mostly the bombing is getting rid of all their missiles and all the weapons of destruction. But all this is training people. So one thing, Iran's going to be around. Whatever happens, it's not going to be the Shah's son's going to take over and everything's going to be wonderful. They're democratic and they kiss and make up and go back to the way they were when the Shah was a good friend of Israel back before the Islamic Revolution back in the 70s. They used to be a very powerful country for the West. And then Islam took over, and they have ever since then one goal, death to America, death to Israel. Billions of dollars. We're going to do whatever it takes to kill them all. And so we, you know, Israel and America thought, maybe we shouldn't let that happen. Maybe we shouldn't let them get a nuke and make that happen, which is, I think it's a good thing. But they're going to be around somehow. The Shah's not going to take over and make it peaceful, according to the Bible, if we're in the last days. And the other thing is we know that global government's coming, and how does this play into the global government issue? Why do the globalists not like Iran? Because Iran doesn't want to be under the globalists. So if you're wanting to create global government and you've got a couple of rogue nations that don't want that to happen, what do you want to do? You want to go to war and make it so that they're under your thumb. And so part of this is part of the global agenda, which the Bible says is going to happen. The world is going to go to 10 nations. We covered that in earlier studies. So we just know that's what's going to happen. They're going to get rid of Iran's ability to say, you don't rule over us. Who's the other rogue nation that doesn't want to be ruled over? China, Russia. And, you know, we tried to do Russia with Ukraine. Ultimately, it's going to happen. But as we studied earlier, what happens before those nations are going to be under the thumb of the globalists? What happens first? Peace is taken from the world in Revelation 6. And what happens as a result of that? 1/4 of the world's population dies. So when we have Putin saying, you guys might just start World War III the next time you do something that we don't like, and we know that you're going to get Iran, which as soon as you get done with Iran, you're going to get us, because you tried with Ukraine and you're really doing a lot of damage to us, but now you'll have all the attention on us and you'll do us. We're not going to let that happen. And so the button gets pushed someday. 1/4 of the world's population. The survivors are going to be saying what? As we've emphasized, this is repeat of previous things, but because we're talking about what's happening now, this is all fitting into that. Think of the billions of dollars the Iranians that were given to by Obama gave them, billions, plane load of cash, billions, which they've used to make all this happen. But built the tunnels in Gaza, built all the missiles, all the proxies, everything else, when we gave them cash. And so now billions of dollars that are now being blown up by billions of dollars that we're throwing at them. And people are going to go, after the aftermath of 2 billion people dying, they're going to say, this has got to stop. And how will they stop it? By disarming the entire world. No guns, no knives, you know, kitchen knives that are blunt, whatever. Just no tanks, planes, carriers, whatever. They're finding out that ships are all gone. You know, the Iranians lost this navy for the first time since World War II. One of our submarines put a torpedo in one of their cruisers yesterday, and it sank. And so completely, you know, just everything with drones and the technology and everything, it's like you can't even fight war because nobody can live. Nobody can live into the future with all the technology that's now available. So we got to put a stop to it. And I just heard today from John that Elon Musk is saying, if you're going to be retiring within the first within the next 5 years, I mean, if you're looking at retirement like 5 years from now, don't worry, just give up. We're going to have universal basic income by then. You don't have to say we're going to have a complete reset of the economy. And what he's saying by that, and you know, he's a smart guy, he moves and shakes with the big boys. What does he know that we don't know? Collapsing the economy to bring about a universal basic income that'll go along with the global war that's all planned to make everybody subjugated. And then if you're a good person, you'll get your universal basic income. So you know, they pay for your cable, they pay for your water, your electricity. They, you know, and if you're using too much electricity, then they can turn off the meter with your smart meter and all this other stuff, and they'll have a utopia. So we're heading there. All this is really heading in the direction that the prophet said it would be in the last day. So, any questions on that? Because that's all that I'm just. Everybody else is like, okay, we're taking over in this and that. It's horrible misery on both sides, and it's going to get worse. Yeah, the rapture fits in. We've been talking about that here extensively too. The rapture happens before the war that leads to a fourth of the world's population die. And there's also the rapture happens before the global leader, the Antichrist, is revealed. Those are two you can bank on that based on Scripture. So with that, let's turn to Matthew 24:29. And this is part six. And last week we ended with, as in the days of Noah, God is warning a future people, mostly the Jews. It's going to be as in the days of Noah. Everybody's going to think the global government and everything is fine for the first 3.5 years. You'll be giving and taking marriage. You'll be eating and partying and everything's going to be fine. And then, bam, just like the days of Noah, everything was fine until the crust ruptured and the fountains of the great deep burst up and the whole world flooded and was destroyed. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, that everything was fine until Lot and his two daughters escaped to the hills, and then fire and brimstone came and completely destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everything was fine. And actually, as the angel said, you better, Lot, you got to tell your family to get out of here right now. And Lot goes to the family and goes, the end is coming. And it says that his own children and their spouses looked at him like he's crazy. Just like if you were to go out today with a sandwich board and say, the last days are coming. Jesus is coming soon. And if you went out there, people would mock you. And back in the 70s, during the Jesus movement that I became saved at, it was common and people weren't mocking. People were listening. They were getting repentant. Now it's like, we heard that before. And now it's, the Lord has delayed his coming. And so we're going to cover that tonight. And so they just go off and drink and have their time. Now they don't want to hear it, but it's happening. We know where this is ending up because the Bible has told us. So it's going to be that way in the last days. Tribulation period specifically, I think, is partially where that prophecy is fulfilled. And then we get into verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the end of the last 7 year tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, at the end of those days, when Jesus comes back, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And I'm going to read Luke here in a minute, but just think about that. What Jesus said is that when I come back, the whole world is going to see me. And it says that the whole world in seeing him, then the tribes of the earth will mourn. Think about how you've lived through the tribulation period where, again, half of the world's population dies that's listed in the Bible, and a whole bunch more people than that die. But the ones that are survivors, they've taken the mark of the beast, a lot of them. They've taken the mark of the beast. They bowed to his image and worshipped him as God. And they were told by the angels flying through the heavens, according to Revelation 14, don't take the mark of the beast. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the fish and the sea. Worship him. Don't worship the Antichrist. If you do worship the Antichrist, then you'll receive the wrath of God when he comes. And imagine the people that just took the mark to keep being able to buy and sell. They took the mark, and they'll be, Jesus really did come. He is coming, just like those angels said. And he is going to put an end to human rebellion against God. And they all mourn. The Jews, it says that they mourn because they see that their true Messiah, Jesus, has come. And that they falsely and ignorantly rejected him 2,000 years ago. And they will worship him. It says that they will then worship him. And all Israel will be saved. But people will be mourning, and they're going to see. And there's going to be the stars falling. The powers of heaven are going to be shaken. And Luke, before we get into the narrative, Luke adds a little bit. It says in verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption draws nigh. So that's an emphasis that I just made as a lead into this study. Do we see the beginning of events happening in this world that would go along with the prophetic 70th week of Daniel tribulation period being set up? We are. And so we can say, as I say all the time, I'll close out instead of sincerely, I say, looking up. Because Jesus says, look up. When you see these things beginning to take place, don't think, man, I'm gonna miss my best sports team winning this year. I'm gonna miss this. No, skip that. Look up. Think about what Jesus is coming to get his church. But then during the tribulation period, people are still gonna be deceived. And when Jesus is saying, when you start to see global government, you see an Antichrist, you see the temple being rebuilt, you seeing this, he's going to warn anybody that knows anything about this scripture, you better be looking up because you're in the last 7 years. And that's what he's warning them to do. But what I emphasize is we're going to, when we get down further in this study here, we're going to see men's hearts failing them from fear, the expectation of the things coming on the earth. And I'll give you my theory on what that means, and only Luke records that. So, in the note right below those three passages, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which all record the Olivet Discourse, it says, the end of the 7-year tribulation period will culminate in an outpouring of the wrath of God such as the world has never seen. Revelation chapter 6 ties the dimming of the sun and the blocking out of the moon to a great earthquake. So, go to Revelation 6, 12, 14, which is in your notes, which is going to be posted at the website going along with this study. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, the seal judgments, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven. And I'm going to say that that's implying, I could be wrong, it implies asteroid impacts. That's what I'm thinking. There's people today that say that the stars that you see in the sky, when you go out in the sun and you look at the stars, the flat earthers, they're saying they're all angels. And they use this verse. You know, that all those stars are going to come crashing down because they're all angels and it's going to be a demonic, angelic bombing of the earth in the end. For that and other reasons, I disagree with the flat earthers, mostly because, well, anyway. The stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain, every island was moved out of its place. What does it take to move every island and every mountain out of its place? What does that equate to? An earthquake. That would be a global earthquake like this world has never seen. Can't even imagine. And in other places it says every wall will fall down. Everything is destroyed. And that'll be important when we look at it a little bit later too. So, is it possible, I say, that impacts of asteroids will result in a global earthquake, which also coincides with eruptions of volcanoes, supervolcanoes, which spew ash into the air, thus blocking the sun and the moon? God could miraculously make the sun and the moon go dark however he wants to. He's done it before. He can turn off the lights. He can turn on the light. He can make the lights stay for 24 hours if he wants to. So I'm just saying that this could be explaining something that's a result of his wrath, or it could just be God doing it. But what would happen if an asteroid hit the earth and broke up the crust and broke up the magma that was down underneath the crust and there was super volcanoes going off and everything? It would be cataclysmic. And so then we go to the top of page 2 in the notes. Scientists are speculating that the super volcano of Yellowstone would create such an event. How many of you have heard the news over the decades, actually? Yellowstone could blow. It's a super volcano. And if it were to blow, basically the whole, everything east of the Cascades is gone. Because, you know, the Cascades would partially protect. You can actually go online. Super volcano blows, where's the kill zone? And the kill zone stops because the Cascades protect us a little bit over here. But what do you do on the West Coast when everything else is gone? It would be still devastating. And if that blows, then it would throw up debris, or just the crust throwing up volcanoes. It could throw. Did Mount St. Helens throw stuff up in the sky? Yes. If an impact happens, that's going to throw stuff up in the sky, and it could throw it up high enough that it comes back as rocks all over the earth. You know, that they would be falling. And Yellowstone was bulging. When I first did this study and made this handout, it was bulging significantly. Feet. Now the bulging is not as fast, but if the bulging continues, it's only a matter of time until the lid blows off. There's the size of there's a magma chamber the size of Chicago underneath Yellowstone, and if you have enough pressure that it's bulging the crust, then what does that mean? It means it's getting ready to break something. If you see a pipe in a system that's bulging, what do you say? The pressure's too high in the pipe. And if the pressure doesn't go away, someday it's going to break the pipe. If it yields the pipe, it's going to break the pipe. And the March 2026 update, the Yellowstone has experienced a new localized and largely inactive phase of ground uplift, which began in July of 2025. This time it only went up 2 centimeters, which is not much, but that's moving. It's bringing the crust up. And it's the size, 19-mile-wide bulge. It's roughly the size of Chicago. Imagine a whole city just bulging and someday, blows the lid off. And all the magma, supercritical water that would explode and just throw stuff like you would not even be able to imagine. These kinds of eruptions possibly triggered, the third paragraph block down, these kind of eruptions possibly triggered by asteroid impacts could also hurl rocks into space that would then return due to gravity and fall all over the earth. Could this be another possibility for the stars of heaven falling to the earth? And could this be why people of the earth will be hiding in caves? Revelation 6:15-17. And the kings of the earth, when this global earthquake is happening, when every mountain and every island is fleeing away, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the commanders and the mighty men, every slave and every free man, what does that mean? everybody. That means it doesn't matter if you're some billionaire, you have your little, you know, you can move around. Everybody is hiding themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. Who's that? Jesus. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Who is Jesus? For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Nobody. You know, man's going to shake their fist at God. We don't need you. We got AI. We don't need you, God. We don't need your laws. We don't want your Bible. We don't want your Christians. We want you out of here. And God says, oh, really? Well, you're getting Satan. And guess what? When you guys make that decision, when everybody decides whether you're going to go Satan's way with the Antichrist and the global government, or you're going to go my way and get your head cut off by the Antichrist, as soon as you make that decision, I'm going to get rid of the ones that hate God. Because I've got to come to a point where I only allow the people who love their Creator to give them heaven. And his wrath is going to come and put an end to the bloodshed. In fact, the angel said, God, you're righteous because they killed everybody that believes in you. During the tribulation, everybody dies that believes in Jesus. They shed the blood and you're giving them blood to drink. The angels see both sides. They see heaven. They see, God, you're righteous to bring this judgment on the world. And a parallel passage to Revelation 6 is Revelation 16. Revelation 6 is, you can go to our Revelation study to understand that even though it's not, Revelation is not chronological. Revelation 6 is pointing to the same thing as Revelation 16, 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, the bowl of wrath. Is what, if you, the context of going to Revelation 16. And a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it's done. The seventh bowl is the last bowl of wrath. It's the very end of the tribulation. It's just before Jesus comes back, which is what Jesus is saying in Matthew. It's done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. And there's been big earthquakes. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and that's Jerusalem and talked about in Zechariah. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and the great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, several pounds. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. You know, imagine that. People are going to know from the angels that were flying around that this is a God thing. And what do they do when it's actually happening? Cursing God. It's absolutely amazing that men will be, and they're going to worship Satan, and they're going to love their sexual immorality, it says in Revelation. They just kept on doing their in-your-face to God, and they lose. It says that the great Babylon was remembered before God. And although I covered in detail in Revelation, which I'd encourage you, if you're interested in the great detail, go to that chapter in Revelation. People say, well, is New York Babylon? Is America Babylon? Is the Vatican Babylon? Is this Babylon? Is that Babylon? But put together what we just read. The whole world, every wall is falling down. Every building is collapsing. Everything is being destroyed. And what it says in Revelation is the sailors on the ships are going to, they weep, you know, they're going, wow, alas, Babylon. You know, nobody's going to be able to buy or sell anything. And the way it's usually taught by other prophecy teachers is they're sitting outside of the Vatican, or they're sitting outside of Babylon rebuilt in Iraq, or they're sitting outside the Babylon of New York, or the Babylon of Shanghai, or whatever else. No. Imagine if what we just read is true. How many seaports in the world can ships go into? None. Are the ships going to be affected by the earthquake? No. Not unless they're close enough to the shore to get the tsunamis that are going to just be destructive. If they're out in the ocean, a tsunami only goes a few feet. You know, it's not until it gets to the shore that it does the kind of devastation we saw in Japan with the earthquake there and Banda Aceh with the earthquake there. When you're out in the city and you're going to sit there, all the different ships are going to be able to use Starlink to communicate with each other. Wow, I'm sitting outside New York and I see everything just is on fire and all the buildings are falling down. The same thing in Shanghai and this and this and this. Every nation, every single port, people will be reporting, we're done. Everything's destroyed. It's not the city Babylon, it's the system Babylon. What was this? Where does Babylon come from? It comes from a man, Nimrod, who said after the flood of Noah, when men were all of one language and all in one place, they said, let us build a tower to make a name for ourselves without God. Because God flooded the place, and Josephus says their motivation for building the Tower of Babel was so that if he tried to flood them again, they could get up on the top of the tower. It was an in-your-face to God, which is what all the godless globalists in the world today, it's in-your-face to God. We know what you're saying here. We're not going to believe it. We're not going to worship. We are going to make a name for ourselves. We are going to fight you. We have the ability to control the entire planet. Your law controls us by saying, thou shalt not steal. And people, when they listen to you, they don't need somebody to be a surveillance of what they're doing. But we have billions of cameras all over the world. We have it all plugged into AI. And we're going to have a universal basic income for those people that aren't breaking the law. And we're going to get everybody to be controlled by us being God. Do you see how close we are getting? That was not even possible to be speculated on just 10, 15 years ago. And now we see they're talking about it. You can ask any question. It used to be Googling and give you a list of places to go search for yourself. Now it's telling you. It sniffs the world for all the information. And then we're finding out, we just found out a couple days ago, the way Israel was able to take out 40 of the top commanders, know where everybody was, is for decades they have hacked into all the cameras that are in Iran and they've been watching where everybody travels that they need to get. And that would not be happening here. There would be no way they would be databasing all of you and where you go in case you become an enemy of the state, because by facial recognition they see that you robbed somebody on the street someday and then they just push a button. Where is that person that we already have their facial recognition? We have everybody databased. That's who did it. Where do they live? Let's go get them. They would never do something like that. Another parallel passage. Let's go to Isaiah. This is another parallel passage from 2,700 years ago about what this global earthquake is going to be like. And by the way, you know, the hydroplate theory, Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, on how the flood of Noah occurred and what it did to the inner earth, how it melted the inner earth and made the liquid core, and all of that has set up for the world to have a global earthquake someday. And there's a teaching on that. If you go to our playlist on our YouTube channel, Calvary Port Orchard's YouTube channel, and you go to the playlist on hydroplate theory stuff, you'll see one where I say there was a seminar that I gave 3 years ago on earthquakes. From the hydroplate theory standpoint, how come there's going to be a global earthquake? And this says, Isaiah 24:19, the earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard. That leaves the impression that the earth is kind of just going to be rolling around on its axis, and it will. It happened during the flood of Noah. And if you move mass, if mountains are moving and islands are moving because of what's happening in the melting of the inner earth, it's creating another runaway global earthquake, the earth will roll. Because the earth wants to be in the position conserving the angular momentum, a law of physics. If the mass is moving, then the earth is going to roll on that spinning axis to compensate so the most mass is at the equator. And it'll truly reel like a top. Your GPS won't work those last... when this is happening, which is right when Jesus is coming back, Any survivor on the earth that's listening to this and decides to, you know, stare down the Antichrist all the way to the end and not be one of the, not get killed during the time, you know, your GPS won't work. And it will walk, will reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones. Who is the one that's on high in the host of the exalted ones? That's Satan. He's gonna, and what does Jesus do? In Revelation, what does Jesus do when he comes? Locks up Satan. So he's gonna punish on high the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones, the ones that exalted themselves. I will rule instead of God, which is what everybody does when they reject Jesus as their Savior. They go along with Satan. And on the earth, the kings of the earth, they will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and will be shut up in the prison. After many days, they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. Does that go with the second coming and set up of his kingdom in the millennial reign? So here we are 2,700 years ago talking about what Jesus is saying 2,000 years ago about what's going to happen pretty soon. And dealing with the Olivet Discourse. So again, there's going to be a global earthquake. The earth is going to be severely shaken. It's going to roll. All this is going to happen, and the people on the ships of the sea will be just seeing this destruction all over the world. So Luke records Jesus' warning that men's hearts will fail them, going back to that section in Luke. Failing them in the expectation of things that are coming on the earth. And this is what I think that's referring to. Right now, we have, you know, near-Earth asteroids. We know there, how many near-Earth asteroids there are. And they're saying, NASA's saying that there's nothing with our name on it in the next century. They're saying that there's none there. However, the most notable one that could hit us is, you can see in your notes there, is 2024 YR4. It's a 60-meter asteroid, has a 1 to 2% chance of impacting in 2032. Considered a low risk. But think about this. NASA's saying there's nothing in 100 years. But they just found this guy 2 years ago. So could there be something out there that they haven't found yet that when they do find it a year from now, it has our name on it because it is going to hit us? And they admit we're spending billions of dollars with satellites and everything else to sniff satellites and telescopes to try and look through the heavens. Are we missing something? And even recently, news items are saying we're not there yet. We haven't scanned everything. And that what really keeps us up at night is the fact that a lot of asteroids could be on the, we could be blinded from seeing them because of the sun. Just the way their orbits are, the sun doesn't let us find them. And then when their orbit comes from being behind the sun and it comes and it has our name on it, we go, uh-oh. And let's say the governments decide to tell us. I mean, imagine, you know, Epaphras was really in the news. And that the bottom square on page 3, based on data from NASA, there is no risk that the asteroid Epaphras impacting Earth for at least the next 100 years. When they first saw Epaphras, it looked like it was going to hit us. And that it was going to hit in April 13, 2029. But as they studied the orbit, they got it to the point where it's going to miss us by 23,600 miles. That is really close. And this thing is big. It's 340 meters wide, so 3.5 football fields wide. And we know from the hydroplate theory that Epaphras is a floating rock pile. And it is going to get that close, and that's within, it's really close to where our geocentric satellites are, the ones that are always over the same part of the Earth. And so it could take out some of the satellites. It could, even the gravity that it has could affect satellites. If it were to hit, it would hit with a, it would hit with the equivalent of 1,000 megatons of TNT, 20 times more power than the biggest hydrogen bomb ever blown off, which was by Russia, a 50 megaton warhead. And let's say something like Epaphras pops out from behind the sun and they go, uh-oh, it's coming, and it's going to hit on this day, this hour, this location. And let's say it was ground zero is going to be Seattle, and everything within 30 miles is going to be gone. Or it could be much more than that. And people would be told, and you can't leave. You know, there's not going to, people will be grieving. They will get heart attacks. They will be, it's coming and there's not enough time to move and I can't get out of here. And it's just like what the movies make. You know, there's movie scripts this way that people know they can't get away and they just sit there and they wait and then fireball comes and they're gone. And people's hearts will fail them. As Luke says, look at this wording. It says, the men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. And that the seas and the waves will roar. You know, if an asteroid hits the sea, it's going to create a tsunami that would be unbelievable. That's what I think, not what I know. It'll come, whatever happens, it's going to completely fulfill this. And so there's a lot more verbiage there that you can read. Others believe, and going back to what Jesus said, the moon will be darkened and the sun and stuff. Others believe that Jesus' prophecy about the sun being darkened and the moon turning to blood will be fulfilled in solar and lunar eclipses. How many of you have heard that? Remember a few years ago, there was the blood moons. People writing books, the blood moons. We're going to know when Jesus is coming back, when the three blood moons happen all in sequence on Jewish holidays and da-da-da-da-da. Well, didn't happen. And they should have never written the book. Why? What would be... We just had a lunar eclipse last night, right? Or two nights ago? And did everybody in the world see a lunar eclipse? No. Does everybody in the world see a solar eclipse? No. What the Bible says is everybody in the world is going to see these things. And you know, a solar and a lunar eclipse only lasts for a few minutes. It isn't an event. So they shouldn't have ever written that. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the sun's going to be dark and the moon will be turning to blood. It'll look red to everybody. And then the Lord is going to be coming back. So it'll be fulfilled when Jesus comes. Chapter 24, verse 31. And he, Jesus, will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. And the same thing is said by Mark. He will gather his elect. Now this is again where the poster, people that don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, they use this verse to say, see, the elect is the church. And Jesus says right there, that's when his angels go and grab the elect, all the believers on earth. The believers are all dead, according to Daniel. Chapter 7, chapter 12. Everybody's dead. And so there's, and the Bible says we come back with Jesus. The Bible says that when the trumpet of God blows in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then we who are alive will be caught up together to be with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with him in the air, with him. And we come back with him. He's not coming to gather us up here on earth. It is so clear that the post-trib rapture view is unbiblical. And only the pre-trib rapture view holds up to all scripture. And so who are the elect then? The elect are, as soon as Jesus returns, what does he do? He locks up Satan and he throws him in the pit. He then destroys all the Antichrist armies. All of them are vaporized. They're all destroyed, the Antichrist armies. But there's going to be people all over the world. And the people that have taken the mark of the beast and worshiped the Antichrist, they all go directly into hell. They go straight to hell. Everybody else that's alive is going to include Jews, who are all saved. They are the elect that are going to go and live in Israel with Jesus as their Messiah, as he promised them in dozens of scriptures of the Old Testament. The Messiah is going to come and let them rule in peace in Israel with the new temple, millennial reign. So he's going to keep that promise to the Jews. Then there's going to be Gentiles who are going to be judged in Matthew 25, which we'll get to in a couple weeks. And that judgment separates the sheep from the goat. The sheep are the ones that minister to God's children. You know, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So anybody during the tribulation who didn't take the mark of the beast and worship his image, but they didn't become a believer in Jesus because they didn't get killed, that in prison and you visited them, you brought them the food. Hey, I'm not a Christian, but that guy, you know, that guy's being arrested and you're going to cut his head off and I'm just going to give him a meal. Or I'm going to give him some clothes because he can't buy and sell anymore because he's not complying with worshiping the Antichrist. So he can't buy any food. He can't buy any clothes. And so I'm going to give him some. And so those people God allows to live into the millennial reign. And they're going to be just like us, except they don't have Satan whispering in their ear. And they get to live for 1,000 years. So God's going to send his angels. That's what he's going to do. And Matthew 24:32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not, no means pass away. And then Luke adds, Luke 31, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. So what is Jesus referring to? The last days when he's the kingdom of God, Jesus reigning on his throne. And we don't have enough time to get in the details as I want to, because there's a lot of details to this, as you can see in your notes. So we'll stop there and we'll cover that next week. But there's so much confusion on that verse. And I grew up in the confusion. I mean, the church was all about that fig tree is Israel. And they became a nation in 1948, and a generation is 30 years, and so that means this is when Jesus is coming back, and then it was, you know, all kinds of date setting and things that happened during the early days of the Jesus movement. And we'll cover all that. You can actually take it home and read it, and we'll be covering that next week. So, any questions on this? I want to open it up to questions. Anything not clear on this before we close in prayer? Yep. So the question is that, is there evidence that we've been hit by an asteroid before that made massive they call them mega tsunamis? The answer is yes. We know places that were hit in the oceans that created such incredible mega tsunamis that it put debris way up on the hills, Madagascar, close to Madagascar being one, and then the water left and you can see the ripples of that happening. If something major were to hit the oceans, it would be very cataclysmic. So, I hope everybody here sees that, I mean, just let it sink in. Jesus told us these things, and the other prophets told us things that really for 2,000 years were mocked by people. How could these things happen? How does a man control the buying and selling of everybody on the planet? How do you have global earthquakes? How can this and this and this and this happen? And now every single, my favorite one is, how could the Bible says in Revelation that everybody will see the two witnesses that Antichrist kills in Jerusalem? Everybody on the world is going to see that. Impossible for 2,000 years. All the infrastructure is set there. And like Elon Musk is saying, he's basically telling us in 5 years, we're going to have a global digital currency. That's what he's saying. If he's saying don't worry about retiring because you're going to have a global digital currency, then that means global digital control over everything you buy and sell. And they will be able to turn off your digital currency if you are not a good comrade. And it will ultimately get to the point, according to the Bible, that the final thing will be, if you don't turn in your guns, okay, you don't get any money. And the only kind of money there is electronic. Okay, I turn in my guns. And then they're going to say this. And then they're going to say that. And then the Antichrist is going to say, I'm going to add one more thing. You bow and you worship my image. That speaks. How many images could speak in the past? Now you can have an image in the Antichrist on your phone and it's going to speak at you. What's your problem? How come you haven't? I want to see right now that you're bowing to me. Turn your camera on and watch it. And AI is going to watch you bow to me. And if you don't bow to me, then you just got digitally canceled. And worship me as your God. That everybody's going to see this image of the beast that will both be able to talk and control everybody. Not possible. Until now. Getting there. Must says 5 years. So what should we do? Get really serious about Jesus? Love him? If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I hope you wake up and get your life right with God and turn away from the cares of the world, because there's people out there that haven't got a clue. All they care about is what's on TV and what their next social media app is going to tell them and how many people love them because their thumbs are up and all this other stuff. That's all they care about. And they need to realize there's a God they better care about. They better turn their lives over to the Redeemer, the one who came and died on the cross for them, for their sins, so that they could have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would just help us to live according to what we know in your word is showing us that these things are about to take place, and that we need to have our heads looking up, but also looking at those that are lost, to minister to them, Lord, to let them know how incredible it is to serve a God who so loved us, you sent Jesus, so that we could be forgiven, Lord, as sinners, and we could give our lives to you and worship you instead of man or ourselves or the devil, that you would help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song.
Jesus, be thou glorified.
be glorified in the temple. That's you if you're a believer in Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is living in us and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so let's let Him glorify inside of us and shine out to give glory to God in what we do with our lives. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.